Hello and welcome to the program Working Together on Radio Miraya. Working Together, a program that comes to you every Wednesday, and we focus on the work of partners in development, in the development sector. And in the program, we shall focus on the work of partners. We also want to understand their work and how the partners with the local communities or with the local NGOs work together to provide relevant services to the people of South Sudan. And coming up with me in the studio, we shall be looking at the response to the need of communities in Important for realizing social and economic development of the people of South Sudan. You can follow us in this program on Radio Miraya. You can follow us on air or online. Find us on Twitter or on Facebook, search on Radio Miraya, or follow us on X. Our Twitter handle is, or our X handle is, at Radio Miraya. I'm Tidio Betty, today taking you through this program, and where we shall be going from now up to 3 p.m. Welcome. On this edition of the program Working Together, we have guests from the World Vision, and World Vision South Sudan recently celebrated the graduation of four young people in Rajab Payam of Central Equatorial State. The four graduates are from vocational training, and this was done under the Fortifying Equality and Economic Diversity for Resilient Project. And our guests are in the studio to make us understand what all the project was all about. And with me in the studio, we have Dominic Batikayo. He is the project coordinator for FIT2 project, that is the Fortified Equality and Economic Diversification, which is FIT2 project. He is the project coordinator for Central Equatorial State. And also we have a graduate who also benefited from this project. We have Victoria Samuel, who is an auto mechanic graduate, and also she will be with us in the studio. We are supposed to have another graduate, but we could not, she will not be able to make it due to other circumstances, but we shall be hearing from Dominic and some and Victoria to tell us more about the project and the benefit of the project to the girls or the women of South Sudan. Both will be talking to us, and later on in the program we shall be opening our lines, and you'll be able to also share with them what you have in mind or what you want to ask to them, or you want to understand something about the project that we shall be talking about. You'll later on call on the numbers that I'll later give, and you'll be able to share with us in the studio. So for now, I would like to say welcome to my guests in the studio, Dominic and Victoria. All of you are welcome to Radio Miraya Studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, to start with, let me come to Dominic. Can you briefly tell us about the project? What are the aims of this project, FIT2?
Thank you, Tidio. First of all, I would like to introduce myself once again. I am Dominic Batikayo. I work for World Vision, as you have already mentioned, as a project coordinator, Central Equatorial State. I would like to thank the Radio Miraya responsibility for having given us this chance to talk to our community. What we are doing is advocacy in one way or the other, which we shall be doing today. I would like also to thank all the listeners outside there who will be listening to us. I thank them so much for having taken the time to listen to us, as we shall be mentioning some few things here. Once again, I would like you to thank World Vision South Sudan, Communication and Advocacy Department, as well as the leadership of World Vision, for having given us this responsibility and opportunity to come and speak on the Miraya Radio, which is a countrywide in South Sudan, one of the most favorable radio that people listen to almost all the time. So we thank them. Yeah, so that's the brief introduction I can give about myself. If the listeners want to refer to me, they can also say, if they are quick, they can say Batikayo, or they can say Dominic. It is well with me.
Okay, Dominic, so after introducing yourself, can you tell us briefly about the aims of the Fortifying Equality and Economic Diversification Resilience Project that has been going on?
Yeah, thank you. This Fortifying Equality and Economic Diversification Project, this is a phase two. That's why we are calling it in short FEED 2. It is a second phase. There was the first phase that ended in 2018, 2019. And then the second phase came, that is starting in 2020. And this is the fifth year that we have entered on into in this month of April. So it is a 5 years project. This project is a women's empowerment initiative that issues, that uses food security and the livelihood platforms to uplift the women. So the main aim about it is to allow women, to support women and girls, so that they are able to have access and control over assets, because it is on a basis of research that was conducted in South Sudan on polygamous families, and it was discovered that women are doing a lot of unpaid labor at the home, at the house levels, and then they don't have access to resources. And for the women who could work in so many parts of the country, if they work, they receive the money, they take the money at the end of the day and give to the husband. And the husband is the one to control, to say, what do you need, woman? I give you what you need. And that's how it is. So, and this is one of the inequality that we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
World Vision, being a Christian-based organization, it looks at the dignity of every human being. So all men and women are all equal before God, and they have to have access to resources. So Canada, in one way, using the Canadian Feminist International Assistance Police against about the capacity building of women, came up and then to support this initiative in the Republic of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm. So in which areas do you operate in South Sudan?
Thank you, Tidio. We work in South Sudan in 7 states. First of all, this project is a consortium. It has a consortium. So the lead partner is World Vision International, South Sudan. And then we have CARE International, South Sudan. And then we have World Child Canada, South Sudan. So these are the international NGOs in South Sudan, in the country, that is implementing. And in the 7 states that we are operating, to start with, Central Equatoria, where we shall be talking about the impact today.
Mm-hmm.
Central Equatoria State is World Vision. Western Equatoria State is implemented by World Vision. Kwajok, that is Warap State, by World Vision. And then Northern Baragazal-Awil, by World Vision. Western Baragazal, by World Child Canada. And then Kea in Jongole, Greater Jongole, as well as Eastern Equatoria State. So that is 7 states in which FEED 2 is being implemented.
Okay, so meaning that World Vision is the one implementing in these areas, in these locations that you have mentioned, or you also partner with other local NGOs there?
Where World Vision is purely implementing, mm-hmm. like in Central Equatoria, mm-hmm. the way the project was designed, we collaborate with the government institutions, especially the Minister of Agriculture, the Minister of Gender and Social Child and Social Welfare, the Minister of Youth and Sports, as well as the Minister of Humanitarian, and then including Minister of Environment. So that is the side of the government. Mm-hmm. And then in the side of other local-based organizations, it is designed that we have to collaborate with women-led organizations only so far. So we have some women-led organizations that we are operating with. For example, we have the Women Advancement Organization. We have the Sublime South Sudan. We have the African Girl Child. We have the Support Aid Women. Those are the few that we are cooperating with. And we also give training to those women-led organizations in different areas, in finance, mm-hmm. If they wish.
Okay, so coming to Victoria, as we know, we heard that you are about 4 young, you know, young people who have graduated recently from this project, who are direct beneficiaries of this project. Tell us briefly, how did you become part of this project, first of all?
Thank you so much. Once again, I'm Victoria Samuel, one of the beneficiaries. Out of four, I'm one of them. I did driving and mechanics under World Vision, of course, under the FIT2 project. So how I became part of it was mainly through a friend of mine who, one of the beneficiaries from the center, the education center, MTC, called me and they asked me, would you love to be part of this project? I said yes. I asked what it is about. Then they told me they're giving chance to young girls and women to be empowered, to get something for themselves through education. I said, wow, this is so wonderful. How can I ever miss a chance like this? Me who is seated at home doing nothing, just seated there. And, well, I was really mesmerized by the time I was called. And immediately the next day I had to respond to the school. So I did mainly driving and mechanics. It was my passion and I really loved being part of it. So that is how I became part of the project.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's really exciting that you are an auto mechanic, a girl who is working in auto mechanic. I think many people outside there will be saying, wow, a girl working on auto mechanic, that's really great.
Yeah.
So this is exciting, of course, profession. And tell us more about this profession that you have just joined. Why did you want to become so?
Yes. One of the reasons as to why, you know, okay, let me first start like this. When I joined the campus that day, the first day, I went to school, I went to the classroom. Then I thought we were actually many in the class, only to realize that I was actually alone. You know, it's kind of scary at the first day. It's always very scary. So when I saw that I was alone, I told myself, you know, Victoria, this is what you love. You can do it. So I said, it's okay. So they brought for me my lecturer, my teacher. He introduced himself. I'm so and so. I'm going to take you through this course. I'm like, wow, thank you so much. I'm very glad to have you. So, you know, they took me like orientation on the campus. This is what we are going to be doing this. This is what we are going to be doing this. I said, okay. So the second day we went, you know, I was in my first month. There are those guys who are doing 6 months, 2 years, who are already there at the campus. So I was there. They're like, what is this girl doing here? What is this girl going to do? What is this girl going to do? I said, it's okay, Vicky. It's okay, Vicky, you can do it. So at the end of the day, I managed to convince myself, and I also managed to convince the other students. When they saw me, you know, going under the car, bringing this spanner, bringing that spanner, you know, doing this, they're like, wow, the second month, third month, they're like, wow, please, can we join you? Even if it's just for like 30 minutes, can we join your class, please? Wow, it was really an amazing opportunity for me to become part of this project. It has really, really, really helped me a lot, and it has really opened up myself, you know, having that self-confidence to do something as a girl among the men, among people who are doing 2 years and they're begging to join your class. It is really amazing.
So looking at your experience, you know, being feeling like you're not in the right place, but convincing yourself that no, I think I can do it. So how did you feel being part of such kind of group of people who were not encouraging you?
It's called passion. Having passion to do something. Once you have passion and the love for something, trust me, you'll go against all odds to do it. Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear from you, Victoria. Coming back to you, Dominic, I don't know if you also do something on food security. Of course, when you talk about empowering women, we also think about food security. So how, what do you do in this project in terms of food security?
Thank you, Tidio. Before I say that, you know, just speaking from what Vicky had just said,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this project, there is what we call, it is referred to as a trade training.
Mm-hmm.
Trade training, this is to give technology and the skills that can empower you economically. So that's what we offered. And this is going to youth, not only in Juba, but all over. That was how it was designed. So when we talk about food security, as I said earlier, we said we are using food security as the entry gate. So there is what we call farmer field-based school. So this farmer-based school, it is a platform where we have all the categories. We have people who are doing savings. We have people who are doing business. We have people who are producers. And all sorts of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is food security that we are doing. Like in Central Equatoria, we distribute seeds. Since it started, we distribute seeds,
mm-hmm.
we distribute tools. And then looking at the setup of Juba as a capital city, so we design a way to intensify irrigation system. And looking at the demand of vegetable in Juba, everything is coming outside, so we had also put a much effort in vegetable production. We do a lot of vegetable production along River Nile in Rajaf. So we gave out the water pumps, we train them on best agronomic practices. When we say best agronomic practices, it's land preparation, how to plant on rain, how to clean, timely storage, and all that. We also do a little part of nutrition aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
We do cooking demonstration, and then we also do taking care of environment. So all that sorts of we do it. So and then our farmers, then they go on and produce the crops that they're willing to do. Like as I'm speaking now, we just did a germination test. What we found on Monday, that it was almost 100% germination test. So by next week, we shall be distributing over 60,000 kilograms of groundnuts,
mm-hmm.
and to beneficiaries in Rajaf, Payam, and Lori Payam, because these are the two Payams that we are operating in Central Equatoria, and then with the small villages like Gorje, like Logo East, Logo West, Tokiman East, we go to areas of Rajaf West, in Uluri, we have Kabo, we have Kapuri, we have Lemongaba. So that's where what we are operating. So we are doing agriculture in a sense, taking into consideration the setup of Juba.
Okay. Well, Dominic, when we look at most of the communities in South Sudan here, like when the women are empowered, they will start saying that, you know, Nusuande biga gia gide resu lomon ras goi. You know, there's a saying like that. So why do you think that it is important to build the resilience of the women?
Thank you, Tidio. Lahano itabigulo nasibigulo nde rasgawi la nasawin fi jinup sudani nagadere somon rasgawi. Fi nefso musurul del inde na barnami china kana bigulo social analysis. Social analysis de yao bi wari inu fi kalamat al ngamulu fi benehna. In Sudan, the things that we do against women, social norms, we challenge those norms. Like now, women will say, I cannot cook. Why can't you cook? We train both men and women. We ask them the question. At the end of the day, they come and they agree and say, okay, I thought it was wrong. So we have also one way, we are also doing that to train the community so that they know the role of women in everything, in economic development, in farming, all that. And we are already registering positive feedback. Like if today we came to talk about advocacy, I have an officer who is a gender and protection officer. If you talk about protection, you will hear the stories and the channel that we are using that is already changing the community. There is what we call channel of hope, which is called chats. We have it in the Luri group there. And their role is to talk to the community every day. Also, now even we have a good stories there, but I cannot go to that because today we are focusing on this young lady and how she's going to change herself and how she can change the society. But all in all, that's what the project is doing.
Okay, thank you, Dominic. Now let's come to Victoria. Victoria, sometimes people look at this profession of mechanic and they have misconception about it, and they say it is men's job, or not supposed to be for women, not for girls like you. Also looking at you, as much as you are, they may start, you know, teasing you. So what do you have to say? What's your advice?
What I have to say is, you know, being a girl or a woman, you're going to face a lot of challenges when it comes to work that is done manually or work that is done with your hands, where you have to apply your hands in order to pick something and do this for yourself. It will always be a challenge because there are some things which the society mainly they have that aspect that this work is for a man and a lady cannot do this. But with change today in the society, we realize that there are some things that even women can do better than a man. If I have this basic training that I got, I have the skills, I have the knowledge, I have the ability and the capability to do this even better than a man sometimes, yes. You may find that I have even a shop, driving and mechanic shop, and I'm employing people, even men. So sometimes it is not always good to underlook a gender or to underlook someone just because you've looked at that person and you know you have this aspect that this is a woman. Today, my trainer even calls me like, "Hello, Victoria, where are you? Please, there is this job here in maybe Bor or in Konyo that we have to go and do. Please, can you come?" So that is a really big opportunity because he has a variety of people he can inform or he can call to come and help him. They work together, they partner with. But he gets that chance to call me because I am okay, I am good at what I do, and I love what I do. So please, the society out there, let's not underlook women. Let's not underlook the strength of women. Let's try to build them up, empower them, give them the opportunities to also show what they have inside of them and not always diminishing them.
Well, Victoria, one other thing is that this work of mechanic, it requires practical work. You really need to be there to do this, touch this, get this. And did you feel that you were given enough opportunity during your training to participate with all the rest who were there, equally with every person who was there?
Yes, I was given enough opportunity to participate with everyone, because even it reached an extent whereby people who are in second year or in 6 months, I could even join them. You know, it gives you that space, that freedom to also be who you are, to also show them that you got this, you know, you have this at hand and you can also do as they are doing. So yeah, it gave me a lot of opportunities and it helped me a lot to open up.
Okay, coming back to you, Dominic. Well, we know it's really sometimes challenging for women or young girls to take part in some of these opportunities. So what do you see as some of the barriers that are hindering women in getting involved into some of these projects or some of these benefits?
Thank you. As a political data and as well as doing project management, the women in my country, which is South Sudan, they have a lot of challenges in participating in other activities. First of all, still our women, majority of them are still, especially the rural women, many of them are illiterate. So they are still staying at home, doing care of the children, and the men are going out, and that's what we have experienced. Even our women, they tell us when we are in the farm, we ask them where are their husbands to help them. They tell us that the women, men have gone to the town, others are widows. So they have really still a lot. Our women still have still a lot of work that they are doing. Home care, looking for food, looking for money, and all that stuff. Sometimes they have little time to be fully engaged. So that's an experience that we're having. And also we still have that traditional way of thinking. Some men think the women should not go out to take a lot. If they go out to take a lot, probably they have gone a different way. They are deceiving that we are going here and they are not going there. So even some of them spy us. They spy and come over around trying to see whether the women are there today or not. But we have discovered in the area where we are operating, people are getting to understand the role of women and how women should be capable and brought up.
Yes, I'm seeing Victoria wanted to say something.
Yeah, just to add on what Dominic is saying, you know, even in the society, some girls have really low self-esteem towards some things. You know, when they call them, hey, can you do driving and mechanics? Who, me? To do driving, mechanics? I cannot manage. Okay, driving I can try, but not mechanics. So today in my society, they look at me, they're like, wow, if Victoria can do it, we can also do it better. So it has kind of created that open mindset towards auto mechanics for the girls.
Okay, that's nice to hear. Let's go for a musical break and we shall be right back. Yes, welcome back from that musical break, and you're still listening to the program Working Together. I'm Tidio Betty, and this week we are focusing on the Fortifying Equality and Economic Diversification for Resilience Project, and a project that is run by World Vision South Sudan. And we are joined by the project coordinator, Dominic Batikayo, and we also have Victoria Samuel, who is a beneficiary of this project, with us in the studio. And soon I'll be opening the lines for you to have a comment or the question to the guests who are with me in the studio, and of course you'll be able to share with us in this discussion. So coming back to Dominic, how did you select the beneficiaries for this project?
Yeah, now thank you. The selection of the beneficiary for the project is not the job completely done by World Vision. All of World Vision is staff. The criteria that we use in doing our work is we go to the community, and then we get in touch with the leadership of the community, that mainly the chiefs. And then the chief, if we have an activity to do, we give the information to the chief, and the chief passes it in the community. Like for those which are self-motivated, then the chief will find the avenue and announce. So thereafter, and then those who are willing, then the chiefs will collect their names and submit to us according to the number that we want. So, and we normally make sure that this should not be on a tribal line or community line. It must be something which is a universal or transect. So like in this particular one, we were very happy to find that we had all these four students were all from different tribes. So that's how it was, and it was so nice that we are taking the whole of South Sudan to benefit from. So that's what we do. We don't do it by ourselves. We collaborate with the community leaders.
Okay.
Yes.
So as we know, the project, as you mentioned from the beginning, it runs from 2020 to 2025, and it's almost concluding. So far, what have been the major success of this project?
Oh, thank you. When you look at the project, the whole project for the seven states, our target, already what we are achieving is already 76,882 people that we are very rich. And when you look at the women, we have already 49,000 women and girls that we have already reached with our activities. So you can see how we are moving. And then that's how we are moving. And then when it comes to farmer business schools, we have reached to 63,541. So if you add 63,000 to 76,000 plus, that's already over 100,000 or close to, that we have reached in South Sudan with the activity. That is the whole. So for Juba alone, because which is only one county, our target is always very small. Like in a year, we are supposed to reach about 2,000 individuals with the information that all we have, different sectors, because as I told you earlier, we have a different sector. We have for peace building, we have for savings, for transformation, we have for food security production, we have for businesses. So if you sum all this up, so it is a huge number that we are already reaching. So that's how far we are going. Yeah. And one thing which I wanted to remark on what Victoria had said. She said something that talking about Autoshop. When you asked her that, how will people look at her as a lady? It does not mean that she can always be under the vehicle. She can even own her auto shop as a woman. And she has a office. She can recruit anybody to work there. And if the person is defeated, she can come and show by herself that the one of the best leadership skill, management skill, to show by showing, to do by showing.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, what we do is this kind of trade, when we are finishing it, we empower them. So we gave her a full compact of toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
So how I wish she had carried it today with her. But since we are not on visual
on TV,
she has a complete set of the toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. And then coming back to Victoria, you've already got this training. Have you started doing some work?
What I mainly do for now is small jobs for people, and I'm always accompanied by my lecturer, the one who trained me, my trainer. So we always move together to do some works here and there. So, but there are still other future plans. You know, you do this, you collect some savings, you do this as you're saving, you do this as you're saving for other future use.
Mm-hmm.
So later on in the nearby months, future months, if you get us here again, once again, it will be an opportunity to show you what I've got and how far I've gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that you have the skills, you can now do the job. How do you think these important skills will be able to change your life? How can you make it as a life-changing, you know, activity?
Like I said from the start, I was seated at home doing nothing completely. But now I have the skills, I have the knowledge, I am doing something here and there every day, and I'm getting some profits from what I did, and thanks to World Vision so much. So because of this, I can support myself. I don't have to ask my father for money anymore. I don't have to ask my mother for money to support me with my small things. I can actually now cater for myself in one way or the other with the money that I get from servicing people's cars.
Okay, yeah. Now let's take some few callers and get their questions before I come to my guests in the studio. Hello, good morning. Sorry that we missed that caller. And of course, it's just about 10 minutes to end this program. So if you want to take part in the discussion, you can call on 0929-686297. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Yes, who is on the line and where are you calling from?
Yeah, connecting to Peace Boy from Ezo County, Western Equatoria.
Okay, Peace Boy, go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah, I have only one question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is going to that lady there in the studio.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what can she tell the women who are not going to work in a mechanic center? What can she tell them, those who are just who want just to go and marry instead of going to do a vocational training? But it is difficult for our women to go for vocational training. What can she tell them?
Oh, okay.
To continue going to for
all right then. Peace Boy, thank you for your question. It's already noted. She will be able to answer you shortly. So if you want to call or you want to have a question to the project coordinator or the beneficiary of the project, you can call on the line 0929-686297. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, you're welcome.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Who is on the line?
Yeah, I am King Callisto from Wong.
Yes, King Callisto, go ahead. What's your question? Hello? Sorry, we missed that caller. So maybe I can give the chance to Victoria. That Peace Boy is saying, what can you tell other girls who are outside there?
Thank you so much, Peace Boy. What I can tell the other girls out there is this is a diversifying project, okay? So we should not only look at marriage as an opportunity of or as a way of confining ourselves or holding ourselves, trying to hide our capabilities. Let us try to open up what we have inside of us. Try to open your mind, have that self-confidence. Try to open yourself to other opportunities. Once you get it, you can have your knowledge, you have the skills, and you get, you know, it will help you a lot later on when you have your own money. You can run. These men will run for you if you have your own money. It's not always them to give us money. You'll get married, yes, but who will give you the food? He'll always give you food. He'll always give you clothes. He'll always give you everything that you want. Yes, but it will never be enough. What you earn for yourself is very sweet. Spending your own money is very sweet. So when you, once you have the knowledge and the ability, the capability to do something, trust me, you will always do it even better, and you will love it, and you will have peace of mind. You don't always have to beg for something. You can provide for your own self. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we are just left with some few minutes. Coming back to Dominic, looking at this project, it's going to end in 2025, which is just at the doorstep. We are almost there. So, what should we expect to see in terms of women empowerment by the end of this project?
Yeah, thank you. At the end of this project, what we need to see in the life of the women is that at least out of the 10 women, if we can have 2 women who are doing small business at their doorpost to change their life, to contribute to their family upkeeping. If we can find that, that will be our pleasure. Secondly, we are also looking, because we are also doing the advocacy in terms of gender-based violence, awareness and all that. Here, we shall be happy to hear from our chiefs that the level of gender-based violence issues that they used to solve in a month has reduced from 10 to 7 or to 6. We shall be very happy. We shall also be very happy to say that when it comes to consumption, the level of consumption of food consumption at the family, people are able to produce their own food and they are able to eat at least twice in a day. We shall be very happy to hear that out of the 10 people, if we do kind of evaluation and we see at least 8 or 7 people are able to eat their own food. So all when we find all these kind of changes, then that will give us a kind of pride, and we say that the project has changed the people. If we also move within the community and see people are planting using the modern agronomic practices, and they are going to the level of value addition. Like now, when you look at places like Western Equatoria, where they are planting a lot of rice, and they have already sawmill, and they are able to package, even here in Central Equatoria, because we are also empowering women with the this peanut and the other things, and we see that they are able to implement this, then that will be the success.
Okay, well, Dominic, we are just left with 2 minutes to end this program. Now, what's your final word on what the importance of supporting women in South Sudan? Like, what is your final word to the people?
Thank you. The importance of this, as I said earlier, is to see to it that women have access to control or access and control over assets as well as men. Women are able to have their own shops. Women are able to own their own businesses and take care of their children. Once this is taking place, I bet you, people will be happy, families will be enjoying themselves, and that's what the way that we need to go.
Thank you, Dominic. Now, Victoria, what does the future holds for you as we end this program? Where do you see yourself from here?
Okay, that is more like a vision. Where I see myself from here is my dream is to have my own shop, my own store, mechanic store where it can be able to service people's cars and also manage my shop and also get money and better money for myself as a living. And on top of that, I would really, really love to thank so much World Vision for recognizing the dignity of girls through this empowerment project and also building our capacity in one way or the other. We thank you so much. May God bless you.
Okay, thank you so much, Dominic and Victoria, for your time to come to our studio on Radio Meraya to talk about the Fortifying Equality and Economic Diversification Resilience Project, where you have been one of the beneficiaries, and also we have Dominic, who is the coordinator for this program. Thank you so much for being with us, and also for the listeners outside there, thank you for following us. Hope to see you again in the upcoming program, and the new summary coming to you next. Keep tuned.